بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون ليعرفون. The purpose for creation was to worship, and this word يعبدون refers to recognition, to recognize. When the recognition comes, value comes, appreciation, and comes an attachment. Saw a piece of paper, didn't think much about it, scrapped. Then it was brought to your attention that that was a $100 note. So now there's recognition that this thing is worth 2,000 rands. So that recognition brought you appreciation, brought an attachment, brought a value. Now you pick it up, put it near your heart. You may kiss that thing also. Put it in your pocket. And before the recognition, scrap of paper. With the recognition, and how its value just changes. So we are asked here to recognize Allah Ta'ala. La liya'budu. Ma qadaru Allah haqqa qadri. We haven't recognized Him. We haven't attached a value. We don't know what it is. We hear something and we listen to a bayan. But the true recognition, like how the piece of paper, the true recognition came, do we enjoy the type of recognition? So Rasulullah had been commanded to introduce himself to extol his virtues. Amma bi ni'mati rabbika fahaddith. So why was he asked? بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ, to express his virtues, his excellence. Why? So that we begin to appreciate him. Like that note, we don't know what it was. So it was a scrap of paper. The moment we realize its worth, then we attach a value. So now you don't know who the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is, then you hold him in that value. Do you hold him in that esteem? Do you hold him in that respect? So it's a command of Allah Ta'ala. When it's a command of Allah Ta'ala, that he's executing the command of Allah Ta'ala. So it's not like one of us, we want to be recognized, to be known, want some popularity. It's not like us. He's totally different. He's been commanded. So the hadith says, فُدِّلْتُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّينَ بِسِدِّن. I have been favored over the rest of the Anbiya in 6 matters. In this hadith, there are other hadiths as well. So, we need to understand who the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is. النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمِينَ مِنْ أَنْفُسِهِمْ. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is closer to you than your own self. That's the status of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now, why do we say that he is closer to you than your own self? Because what you think and what you decide for yourself may not be the best thing. It may be a mistake, it may be a loss that you're incurring, it may be a disaster. Right? What you think for yourself doesn't have to be the best thing. You think at times that I need to get this car, then I'm on. This business, then I'm on. This woman, then I'm on, right? But that have to be the best thing. It's a chance. It may work out. It may not work out. But what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi will decide for you, can there be any doubt in that? There's no doubt in that. That's genuine. It's going to work. Whether your eyes can see it, cannot see it, whether your mind can perceive it or cannot perceive it, but it's genuine. So he's closer to you than your own self, because he'll think what is best for you, and you haven't got the capacity to think what's the best thing for you. You may imagine it to be the better thing, but is it the best thing? Today some ulama jamaat were here. Some of them off for a year. So one of them asked that, what do we do to remain firm right to the end? To be in the state of istiqamat, but in the state of istiqamat right to the end. So I explained that the grace of Allah Ta'ala thought not come to me before this. But at that time it struck me, right? So I explained to them, see, that this world has been designed with procedures. And the procedures have to be followed to reach the right end. You're traveling, you need to have a navigator, right? You need to have a direction. And A and B, whatever, you have to follow those signs. You follow those signs, then inshallah, you reach by the grace of Allah Ta'ala. So this whole world has been designed with procedures. You can't show me a single thing that has come about without a procedure. The earth brightens up with the sun. No sun, no brightness. Had Allah Ta'ala world, He could have brightened the entire world without a sun. But now He wants it to happen with procedures. Showing you that you will have to adopt the right procedures to get into the right ends. Even at the time of jihad, khudhu hizrakum. Take your precaution. So, when you look into the development of a little child, right? So, the child, you can see two children, right? One child is abandoned. He doesn't know his father, he doesn't know his mother. He doesn't have the parental direction. He doesn't have the special touch of his mother, nor the good words of his father. Imagine the child, as he grows up, does he have a direction, or is a lost case? Now compare this child to the child who had a parental direction, the loving care of his mother, the attachment with his father, he had a parental direction from the beginning, from the very beginning. So how does that child feel? Does he feel secure or insecure? That first child, does he feel secure? The second child, he feels secure. This first child, does he have a direction? Second child, he has a direction. The first child, does he feel confident? No confidence. The second child, he has some confidence. So, what was the missing link between these two children? This one had someone to hold on to cling on to ask, to take a direction. So he felt secure, he felt safe, and he felt very confident. And this one didn't have it. So you see, in your physical development, you need someone to be with you, to direct you, to give you an understanding. The same will apply to your spiritual development. If you want your spiritual to be developed spiritually, then you would have to hold so firmly, strong, firm, with that level of confidence you'll have to hold on. You held on, then you're progressing. But you didn't hold on, what happens? Then you are guessing around. Trying this one here, pressing that button, pressing this button here, pressing this button, working out here, not working out there. One day it worked out, one day it didn't work out. So I ask you, in that state, are you going in a circle, or are you going, you moving? Going in circles. You think that you're doing the right thing, but you don't understand that you're just going in a circle. So, this whole world has been designed with procedures. And Allah Pak wants you to follow that procedure and respect that procedure. So this Jamaat was in divine for 1 year. Let's say even in Jamaat, now there's a couple of things, couple of procedures that you have to follow. You have to understand that there's a system in Jamaat. And you respect the whole system, right? From where you are to the level higher above you to the highest level, you have to respect the entire system. Follow the system, respect the system, appreciate it, and be good to the system. Now, that person that is out in Jamaat, and he's following the system, he's respecting it, he's appreciating it, and he's conforming, right? Do you see a progress in that person? You see something, there's a direction he's moving on. And that person is not worried about the system, he's not attaching himself to the system, and he's wondering why things are not working out for me. So what happens to that person? So he's also got something, but he's out of his own mind. He's guessing. He's guessing, and he thinks that he'll guess the right thing. He'll think that he's doing the right thing. So it's a different thing altogether. He's got the wording he's got. But has he got the reality? Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi would join up with Bishr ibn Haris, call him Bishr Hafi, right? So they asked him, but why? This person is not as learned as yourself. He doesn't have that academic level as yourself. You are an imam, and you're following this person here, you frequent him, you throng to him. But yes, we've got the word, and he has got the reality. We've got the word, mitai, or chocolate, right? You know the word. But this man has eaten the thing. They're both the same. We heard the word aeroplane, right? So this person is piloting the plane all the time. He just doesn't know that he's piloting the plane, but all the time he's there. So are both the same. It's a world of a difference. He doesn't know that he's in the plane, but he's enjoying the ride. He's taking people, he's piloting, he's the captain all the time. So both are they the same? He's going to keep guessing. Plane like this, like that. Or puri zindagi nikal jaye. We need to understand the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See, this whole world is designed in procedures. That's how the whole world. You don't find a child getting into matric in one stroke. He has to go in stages. Grade 1, grade 2, slowly, slowly. And he has to respect the system. Today he wants to sit in the Dura. Tomorrow he wants to sit in Takhasus. Then what will happen? So exactly the same happens here as well. In the spiritual realm, you have to follow the whole procedure. Many a time, the person is appearing to be very high, but now he doesn't realize he has to go right at rock bottom. He has to go rock bottom, then can he escalate. If he doesn't go down, he can't. Like how it's an elevator, right? You have to jump onto the elevator, and you're wondering how must I jump onto it? I go onto the ground floor, press the button, and then it will take you up. So now I must just go on the 50th floor, one shot. It doesn't work. You have to go onto the ground floor, and that it will elevate you. So this ground floor, in the terminology of the Quran, is called Islam. It's called Lahu Rabbu Aslim. Give yourself up. Surrender. When you're starting your namaz, you raise your hands. Allahu Akbar. Don't you do that. So, they give an explanation why you are raising your hands. A lot of explanation they give. But I will share with you what Mr. B. Didat had said. Right? So, someone had asked him, Muslims, when they start off the salah, then they raise up their hands. So what's the need for raising up the hands? So Shadidat, perhaps Allah guided him. So he says, see, when you are held up, right, at gunpoint, what do you do? You say, I'm hands up, I do, I'm hands up. When you hands up, what do you say? I surrender to you. Just that the surrendering there, and the surrendering before Allah Ta'ala is different. There you surrendering there because you unarmed and you can't do anything. So you say, boss, please, I surrender, take what you want. But your heart is cursing him. You hate him, your heart curses him, you're swearing him in your mind, right? But when you're surrendering before Allah Ta'ala, then with their passion, with love, with respect, with awe, with magnanimity, that's the difference. So, that's how you start your namaz. Without that, the namaz doesn't start. Without that, takbir al-tahreema, can you commence a namaz? So this whole path starts off with that surrendering, submission. Whole path starts off. Can you imagine someone getting into namaz without takbir al-tahreema? So exactly the same. Can you imagine anybody progressing in that path, in this path, without total submission? Can it happen? Can't happen. You may want it to happen, but now, how does it happen when you don't want to submit, don't want to surrender yourself? How does it happen? So as you're going to surrender yourself, then this path will open up. Everything will open up for you. That is why Ibrahim alayhi salam, as great as he was, right? Like the Abul Anbiya, right? But Allah commands him also, يَسْقَالْ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ. Just come out. So, as though it was a lesson to us, that this man escalated, and he's a man that is being respected, honored by all denominations, all creeds. But what was the first step in his road to escalation and divine proximity? This was it. يَسْقَالْ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ. Then, when he's got a son, فَلَمَّا أَسْنَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ. And when they surrendered at that point, نَادَيْنَاهُ أَيَّا إِبْرَاهِيمُ قُدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّيَا. Things are opening up for you when you're surrendering, submitting with a passion, with love. Right? Ismail alayhi salam, as he's being lowered down, he's made to lie, that he's obliging, all the way he's obliging. All the way he's conforming, not giving no type of resistance, not showing no resistance. And he's requesting his father, Ibrahim alayhi salam, that see, I think the better thing for you would be that you just block off my eyes. Because as you placing the knife onto my throat and the eyes are meeting, perhaps the fatherly love may have the better over you. So there may be a small little distance, there may be a small interval in executing the command of Allah Ta'ala, and that may not be in conformity with Islam and total submission. So in the submission, total, absolute, complete. So the father kisses him on the forehead, and the tear that comes out, and he says, how beautifully are you submitting to Allah Ta'ala? How beautiful, what a beautiful submission. His whole path is opening up and opens up at this point. So the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi is saying, فُدِّلْتُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّينَ بِسِتِّينَ. I have been favored in six ways. The first way that I was favored was أُوتِيتُ جَوَامِ الْكَلِيمِ. I have been blessed with comprehensive speech. In the Quran Sharif terminology, this is called Islam, Taslim, right? In the terminology of the Tasawwuf, it's called Fana. The meaning is the same, terms are different, right? But they are saying that this is that first step. And you don't have that first step, then we can't work with you. That child has got that play-doh, right? But it's hardened now. Can you give it the shape that you want? But that play-doh is soft, it's pliable, it's prepared to take the shape. Now, isn't it a beauty to work? It's enjoyable to work. Right? The one that first play-doh has a color, a beautiful color about itself. But it's hardened, Now can you give it the shape? And this one here is pliable. It doesn't have so much of color, but it's totally compliant. That's why you call it pliable. So you can give it the shape that you want. So that's the main thing that's required here. Azadi used to say this. Some concepts, right, Azadi used to teach us. We heard the words, but we couldn't relate to it. But we used, alhamdulillah, in all the days that we were there, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, we didn't resist, not mentally, not in any way, not verbal, no. Managed saying the right thing. We are truth, we can't understand what he's saying. But as time passes, then we begin to understand all right, what he's talking about. So he explains that, other parts of suluk, that fana is the last level. So someone is asking you more time, but on your side, that fana is the first step. So yes, mera to kuch aisa hi tarika hai. So they should talk about Hari Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi as though Allah Ta'ala had leveled the entire universe for him. For the type of change that he brought, as though the whole universe had been just changed and adjusted for him. Because from that point you see all the major changes taking place. Madrasas, maktabs, khanqas, jamaat, jihad. Any perceivable line of khidmat is from Hari Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. So this man, what he's talking from a different level. Hari Sahib is talking from a different level. And our fortune will be just to listen to him. In this path that he's taking you, just listen to him. And things will unravel to you with time. And if you're interested and you're serious, it will unravel. But now you say, I want to see it from now on to see it. You're not going to see it now. It'll take time until you see it. Now, it's a 5-year-old child, right? You're telling him, alright, you just behave and do things right. Inshallah, one day you'll become a father. No, I want to see myself become your father now. Can it happen? Does it happen? It happens with time. I want to see myself. Some procedures has to be followed. And inshallah, you'll see it in time. So understand the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qazi Sanaullah Panipati Ramadhan gives in his tafsir Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's description in the Quran, Da'iyan ilallahi bi'idni wa sirajan munira. So a Muslim must be he must try to imitate Rasul-e-Pak. He won't get it. But even the Sahaba, not even the Awliya, but try and be there. So he is a lamp, a brilliant lamp. But the lamp that he is giving light all the time. There isn't a time that it doesn't give light. That is why the hadith says, Da'im al-fikra, mutawasil al-ahzan. Can you see that? He is constant. Like how the light of the sun, can you see the light, the sun, taking a break. Hey, we must go for a picking now. We worked enough now. Hey, take a break. Have a Kit Kat. Do you ever see the sun saying this thing? No break. So it's no break, what it means? It means that he's not speaking something, but his mind is occupied in the same thing all the time. Mind is occupied in the same thing all the time. Remember the day that you got married, right? Say about 55 years ago, married, 55, say 50 years ago, right? So, a lot of friends were meeting you, cousins were joking with you, they're showing you, hey, this is a present that we brought, and this is what we'll give you, and the bridal room, right? Perhaps it was the bride that chose that room, right? For the holiday, right? They showed you all that, whatever. They show you the chocolates, the mitais, everything that came in. But at that day, your mind will be. Will it be on the chocolate? Will it be in the mitai? Will it be in the presents? Will it be in that room, bridal room? Will it be in the dress? Where will it be? Furthermore, Umari Sabakhti used to say it in a liberal and light way. He said one old man, he used to renew his marriage every year. So some old friend told him, hey, you know, we saw a lot of things in the world, but this aspect of you renewing your nikah every year, we haven't seen it, you know. So when you learn this, he said, no, he's got the money. So he says that I just renew the nikah because see, when the groom is coming, right, to receive the bride, he says, I like that show. I like that show when the groom is coming to receive the bride. And the little girls, 5-6 year olds, they are clapping and saying, Dulha bhai aaya, Dulha bhai aaya. The groom is coming. I just like to see the show. Therefore, I just call for it every year. That's what you call a wedding anniversary. So the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was like that. That fikr was all the time. Kana yaskurullaha fi kulli ahyan. All the time. See that concern was there. And the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala was there all the time. And these things you can make it work. Just that your mind must be in the right place and you'll make it work. One simple procedure is just look down, whether in the masjid or out, but look down. Right? Don't bump into anybody, don't dent anybody, knock anybody, but just look down. And I found that to be very, very helpful. Now if you're looking down all the time, then you will think, you know, minha khalaqnakum. This is where I came from. I'm going back here. What do you think of the end? The more you relate to the end, the more you on cause. And the more you ignore the end, you off cause. The more you relate to the end, you on cause. And the more you ignore the end, then you off the cause. And I ask you, when you're off the course, can you progress? See, a train, right, is off the line. For all the state of the art, too beautiful, presentation, the works, got everything in it. Everything, got a shower, got a bed, got best of foods, best of girls, everything, the best, you can't think of anything better. Super fast, 400 kilometers an hour is moving, right? But the only problem is, it's not on the line. Any progress. So the progress here comes, as long as you think of the end, then you're on course. And you don't think of the line, you're off course. See, the Dai, when he's talking, he says, مَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. The Dai starts off with Allah Ta'ala, and he understands deeply in his mind that I'm going back to Allah Ta'ala. So on cause. Maj, look at the words again. Look repeatedly. See these lines on Dawat in the Quran is very important. And we need to focus on these lines. The lines on Dawat. La a'budu alladhi fatarani. Where I started off this journey. Who brought me into this? Onto this line, who brought me? Who gave me that opportunity? Who gave me that blessings to be here? And then, where am I going to? Where I was, say 79 years ago, right? Anybody that was sitting here, anybody that is sitting here was around 79 years ago. And 79 years later, inshallah, I don't think anybody will be here. So you were lifeless. وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ. Allah is talking Dawat. You were totally lifeless. وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ. And life is such a thing that nobody can explain. Can anybody explain exactly what is life? Nobody can explain. You are lifeless. Then he made you alive. Can you see that? Kuntum amwatan. You understand it like this. Kuntum amwatan. You were lifeless. Then he gave you life. So as long as you think of that, then you're on course. Otherwise you should, some of these examples you give repeatedly. Then now you think now, that time you think, but I heard this story, you know. I heard this story, yeah. But they will give it again. Because it was not storytelling, it was concept building. It was building us. So therefore you would repeat the stories. You would say, I don't know how many times, many of these stories I heard many times. But at that time, used to, we were very green. Now too, we're still green. But maybe a little lighter green. That time we were too green. Right? Still wet in the ears, right? So he says, one Buzurg used to come to one king. Whatever reason, this Awliya Ikram, they got some procedures. To get people right, they got procedures. And they know what they do. So you don't compare yourself to them. When you're writing, shir and shir seems to be the same. Shir and shir appears to be the same, right? But it's got a world of a difference. Shir is a lion and shir is sugar. Shir you want to escape and shir you want. Sweet you want. And shir you want to escape. But you see, but both appear the same. So don't you compare yourself against these people at a different level. So that Buzurg was there. One day, one of his tablets that he used to take, he forgot it. So the king saw the tablet, he took the thing. When he took that tablet, the king got, he got bandis and whatever they got, right? All these things. He finished his four wives, his bandis and all that. Hey, adrenaline is still running. So now the thought ran through his mind, Achha, ye Buzurg, wah jungle mein rehte hai, kya karte honge? He was enjoying himself, wall of a time he's got. So that thought is playing up in his mind. Anyway, after some days, they met up again. And that Buzurg, he caught up what's going on. He understood what's going on. So he says to this king, I see in a vision that you only got about 40 days to go. Now the king is already panicking because the Buzurg is telling him and he's got the best confidence in him, most best respect for him. And what he's telling him, you only got 40 days. Ek chilla. Fakat ek chilla. Ab saath chalo mere ae dost, now come with me now. See, Mot says that. Malakul Mot, we need to think about it. He says, there isn't a person, but I see him every day, five times I see him. So, I don't mistake anybody, anytime, I don't mistake him. I see everybody. I am gentle to every believer. And more gentle to the person that is regular in his namaz. And even more gentle to the person that has got the right association. So, when you're ending up then, and the association is right, then the hadith says, Al-mar'u ma'aman ahabba. So what happens at the ending? At the ending, Allah shows you the forms of these good people. And they're encouraging you, right? Complete la ilaha, come. So you see the forms of this righteous person at the ending. People that you liked, people that you cherished, people that you respected, you begin to see them. I don't know how many dead people I saw, say about 1 year or something, before they can die. Say, no, I saw this one here, I saw this one here, I'm seeing this one. As though he's near, as though he's here now, as though he's here. And they talk about it. So Allah Ta'ala reminds them in that way. That despise people that they adored, they see them near them. So they're coaching them, they're encouraging them, giving them that support. So he's even more gentle with those people that are regularly in the namaz and whose association is right. He's even more gentle. And when the person is grumbling about death, etc., the person died, people are grumbling and shouting and crying. So Malakul Maut says, see, before my arrival, I had sent a lot of messages. Sickness was my message. Tragedies are my message. Deaths were my message. Problems and difficulties were my message. Your weakness, that was my message. Your white hair, that was my message. All these were my messages. But then you ignored my messages. You totally ignored my message. But I diligently gave you one message after the other. One message, and then the next message, the third message, and the fourth message. I sent all these messages to you. But then, you totally ignored them. And when you ignored them, now I've come here in person. Before I sent the message, now I've come in person. And now there's no way that I'm going to turn back without taking it. See, that the message of Malakul Maut. So as long as you're on cause, and the cause is the thought that you're coming to the end, that's the meaning of taking cognizance of the end. You're coming to the end, you're understanding the end. And an easy way to say is look at the ground. Without hurting, without bumping and jumping, without denting anybody, look at the ground. See, I'm made of this. I'm going back to this. Other Shaykhul Hadith in his Sharah Bukhari Sharif. So there is one word that they use, bara'atul ikhtitam, the beauty of the ending. So his line, Imam Bukhari Sahib's line, everywhere is, when he ends up a chapter, he brings out a chapter and he ends it up. The bara'at and the beauty is, he'll be giving you something alluding towards the end, towards death, towards akhir. That's the beauty. So how focused Imam Bukhari Sahib has been? He elevated so much, he's escalated. But I say you, how focused he must be on that end. That when he comes to the end of the chapter, he'll bring a hadith that will allude some way to, allude or show you exactly this is your end. So this Buzurg is telling that king, there's 40 days left now. He's already in a state of ghabrat. Don't worry about all that. You got your son here, you could just make him the vicegerent, right? Crown prince. And you see, now you are stressed now. You see these tablets, you know, that I bring normally. So you take 40 of them, take one every day, and that will keep you going. Now he's got the tablets, and he's popping those tablets, and he's marking the calendar: one day, second day, third day, marking the calendar. Fourth day, 1 week, second week, third week, fourth week, fifth week. Now he's struggling for breath. What if 3 days left now? 4 days left. 3 days, 2 days. Now is that final hour, final day, 40th day, just half an hour. You can hardly breathe. And as the time elapses, then he breathes. Amen. The Buzurg made a mistake. He's complaining, but you know, he told me 40 days. Now that Buzurg found the opportunity to explain. See, they do something, but with a practical demonstration that the lesson sits well in you. So he says, you know, you've been popping the tablet every day, right? But for that entire duration, did you have any type of intimacy? Hey, don't even talk of intimacy. That sword was suspended over my head. How could I have ever thought of this type of thing? That mind couldn't even work, couldn't go in that direction. See, so you're in course as long as your mind is on the end. If it's not on the end, you're off the course. So, we talk of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we say, da'iyan ilallahi bi'iznihi wa siraja munira. So it's a ism-e-fa'il, isn't it? So that means that was his constant life. His life was just about da'wat. His words were a da'wat. His mubarak conduct was a da'wat. His behavior, his ways, all were a da'wat, were an invitation. Whether it was his word, whether it was his action, whether it was his behavior, all that was a da'wat. At any given time, it was a da'wat. Now, if we say that we are the ummati of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our words, are they a da'wat? Is our behavior a da'wat? Is our conduct a da'wat? Is our ibadat an ibadat a da'wat? Look at the middle of the night, he's getting up for tahajjud, right? But Aisha is sleeping, radiallahu anha. And she's given a description of his tahajjud. Kana yusalli arba'an, fala tas'al an husnihi. He's reading in batches of four, right? Four rakats. But uski khubi ka kya kehna? Simple Urdu term. Uski khubi aur umdagi ka kya kehna? It's too good. That four rakats, how is he reading it? It's too beautiful. The four rakat that he was reading was too beautiful, so beautiful it was. So everything was a da'wah. His talks, his words were, if it was a small young boy, and Rasulullah Pasam is advising him, and that child is grown up, he said, now Rasulullah Pasam gave me this advice, Ya Bunayya, my child. And the child remembered when he was from about 4 or 5 years of age, until when he's about 70. He still remembers the exact word. His socializing, his interaction, his ibadat, his behavior, everything of it is a da'wah. So that can only happen, when it can happen, it can happen in the words of Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi. So, he was the first mujaddid of this ummat, revivalist. And that's why the type of revivalist movement, his work was such that they call him Al-Khalifatul Khamis. That after the Khulafai Rashidin that he comes. That's the type of work that he's done. They rate him so high. Because the amount of corruption that was in vogue and how he just eliminated everything, how he wiped it out and brought it back to the original. It was a real task. So they call him Al-Khalifatul Khamis. But then they ask him, alright, what was the secret? How do you get on? So you look into his life, you'll find two things that are very distinct. He speaks about two things that were very distinct, that brought him all this success. Apart from committing himself to halal, because as he came on to the Khilafah, right, there was a lot of corruption at that time. And when he came up to Khilafah, they said, no, this thing can't carry on. So he says to his wife. Now his wife is brought up in a royal circle. Father is a king, brothers are kings, right? Husband is a king, everybody is kings. Now she's brought up in the laps of royalty. But as he's posted to Khilafah, now he's a different person. Now he says to his wife Fatima, Fatima, if you want, you can enjoy all these gifts, but then I'll separate you. إِن كُنْتُنَّ تُرِدْنَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا فَتَعَالَيْنَ Come, I'll give you. And set you free. Give you all the wealth, everything, whatever you want. But then, I have nothing to do with you. وَإِن كُنْتُنَّ تُرِدْنَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ But if you want me, then I and this wealth, we can't go hand in glove. Make up your mind. So she was blessed also. Although, she's coming in a royal family, royal circle she's coming in. He says, what this wealth? It's a million times this wealth. I can't move away from a person like yourself. See? So that halal and haram came very clear. So the historian writes, he says, see, there were two kings preceding him. One was Walid, and after Walid was Suleiman, and then was Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. So he says, what was the distinct features? Compare these three people, the Zamanas, and what did you see? So he says, in the time of Walid, the public, the minds, the mentalities went towards wealth, building, investments, properties. That was how the minds were running. Investments, properties, wealth, and all that. That was. Then it came to the time of Suleiman ibn Abdul Malik. And at that time, people's mind was on good food and good apparel. The looks must be good. Food and the apparel must be good. Must be good looking. And when it came to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, In his day, he was extremely wealthy. He was dressed up too smart. But the day he came onto Khilafat, he was a changed man, absolutely changed person. And when the day he came into Khilafat, until he died, then the whole ambiance was different. Whole kingdom was different. Then the general take was, how much Quran say you're reading every day? When do you make a khatam? And how many fasts you keep in a week? That was the general take. So you see, the effect of the leader onto the subject. We complain about students, etc., right? But do we complain about ourselves? So that was the one thing that he was too careful about. The second thing is that brought him that type of success and glory was when he sat on the seat of Khilafat. The first thing he said, I need to fix up myself and my household. Myself and my household, but with beauty. With beauty, with love, I need to fix it up. So you see the second thing. Three elements. One was halal, haram. He didn't compromise. To the highest he could have. And he's dying, and as he's dying, he's only left about approximately 100 or something dirhams. Each child, 11 or some children he has, each child is just getting about 10 dirhams. Right? That's what he left behind. And he asked him, but don't you fear Allah Ta'ala that you left this for your children? So he says, there can be one of two situations. Either my children are going on the wrong, right? If they are going on the wrong, then why must I support them in the wrong? And if they're going on the right, then inna waliyya Allahu alladhi nazzala al-kitab. Allah Ta'ala is their friend. Allah Ta'ala will take care of them. So this Abbasi historian, he writes after that. So he says, I saw the children of Umar ibn Abdulaziz rahmatullahi alayhi. Right? So the taqwa was at a very high level. Contentment was at a high level. But I saw, personally I saw his children. This is what he left. One child, only about 10 dirhams. But when I seen his children then, after, post-death, then each child, if there was a call for jihad, he could furnish 1,000 soldiers with everything, you know, with the conveyance, with luggage, with weapons, everything from scratch. He's going for a one-year journey, and he could furnish him fully, provide him with all provisions. And not 1%, 100%, 500%, and he's doing it. So the first thing he says I worked on is myself and my children, my household. That was where I got authority, I got influence, and my influence I can influence myself, and I can influence my household. That was the first thing that I worked on. And the second thing that I was very, very careful and particular about was any sea rights. In coming up, I didn't look at a sea right, and remaining there, I didn't look at a sea right. Because I understood now that if I'm going to work on the sea right system, what we call bribery, sea right, semi right, right, I'm going to work on that, then as I'm in that position of authority, then people will know that I came up with the sea right. They'll know that I'm corrupt. Right? That I came up, I elevated. Why? Because I saw someone right. And therefore I was pushed into this position. So then there'll be abuse from that position of authority, there'll be abuse. Because they know how I came up. Right? They know the corruption that was involved in me coming up. So they will also apply that to me. And I will not be able to recluse myself because I know that I came up because of the sea right. I came up here because of that. So then how am I going to save myself from it? So these were the three elements. And the strange thing is that he didn't travel much. He didn't travel much. From the day that he was appointed the Khilafat till the end, this was 2.5 years, but hardly any travel. But then the change that he brought was like a word of a change, and they called him Khalifatul Khamis, the first revivalist in this whole Islamic calendar. He's the first. So, we're talking of by focus to the end. And you focus on the end, there's a direction. There's no focus on the end. To the extent that you lost the end, you have lost the path. And now, the topic of death is such now, you get so afraid. Someone says, hey, Mullah, you know, I got a hearse, I'm going for a holiday, I'll keep it in your yard for 1 week. So on. No, I won't push it inside your house, on one side. Only keep it one side. You can't see the side of that hearse. You don't want to remind yourself of that. So I ask you, are you on course or are you off the course? So we are talking of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his words, his behavior, his actions, his deeds, all were da'wah. Right? But the da'wah was not now, I'm doing this to invite others. No. I'm doing it for myself. But he did it so well that that became a da'wah. Doing namaz, but he's doing it so well. فَلَا تَسْأَلْ أَنْ حُسْنِهِنْ وَتُولِهِنْ. Don't ask about it. It's too good.